You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Twee weken terug heeft u kunnen luisteren naar het eerste deel van het gesprek dat ik had met historicus Henry van Sande. En in dat eerste deel is Henry van Sande begonnen te vertellen over zijn boeken The Lost White Tribes of Australia. Vanaf de vroege jaren 1600 zijn er Nederlandse VOC-schepen vergaan voor de kust van West-Australië. Schipbreukelingen hebben weten te overleven. Henry sprak over het schip de Gouden Draak dat verging 100 kilometer ten noorden van Perth. Latere ontdekkingsreizigers hebben de nazaten van de Nederlandse opvarenden ontdekt. In deel 2 vandaag vertelt Henry van Sande over het vergaan van het schip de Zuiddorp. Maar ik onderbreek hem met de vraag: wat is er gebeurd met de schipbreukelingen van de Gouden Draak? Luister naar de opmerkelijk vroeg Nederlandse geschiedenis in Australië, blootgelegd door historicus Henry van Sande, zoon van Nederlandse emigranten uit de jaren 50 van de vorige eeuw.
It was much more than that, because there were other subsequent shipwrecks, including 1712, the Zuiddorp, you know, that's been Southern Village. And I came across a descendant of that what particular white tribe. They split up into two groups. One went north.
Wait a moment. Before we go into that story, to finish the one that you were just talking about. So what happened to that tribe?
Governor Stirling, he came back to Australia, and the first thing he did, he put an imaginary boundary around the whole of this area where the Lost White Tribe was. No explorer, no settler was allowed to go into that area, despite the fact that there was so much water there. Right? And then, but he didn't know that while he was away, that a massive flood had occurred. It's a huge flood. There's also, in that particular year, 1833, there were just tsunamis. There's probably most likely a tsunami occurred on the West Australian coast, just north of Perth. Volcanoes exploding. They called it climate change. That's what the books were describing it, climate change.
Oh, wow.
There were hurricanes, and the weather was absolutely crazy all over the place. And the Aborigines describe this particular time of the flood, where only the hilltops were visible, were where you could, all the other areas were underwater.
Wow.
And according to the Aborigines, when this flood came, they disappeared, of course, themselves to safe territory. But when they came back, all of the white tribe had gone. And then from other writings by Aborigines, they talked about how some of them were eaten by... There was that one particular tribe that was a cannibal tribe that eaten some of the stragglers. But they ended up going towards Geraldton in the Irwin River Valley. But they didn't maintain their indigenous European identity, because I guess they thinned out. A lot of them might have been killed. And they seemed to have assimilated into the black tribes, or Aboriginal tribes, around the Geraldton Irwin River Valley area. And that's where I first went. Initially, I was looking in that area because that's where all the reports by explorers had come from, of blue-eyed Aborigines and blonde-haired Aborigines and flaxen-coloured haired, Aborigines speaking a different language, using different weapons, and using them in a different way than the other Aborigines, and other Aboriginal tribes not being able to understand their particular language at all. And also talking about superior villages being built, houses that could hold 30 people, paths and wells that had been built. This is reported by Gray, who was an explorer, and a guy called Lieutenant Helpman, and other explorers who'd first arrived in the area. So that's what happened to them.
So you think there are still descendants around there?
I spoke to one, and I said, well, how do you know you're a descendant of a white tribe or a Dutchman? And he said, well, my grandfather and his grandfather and his grandfather before him all passed down that story that they were descended from Dutch sailors. He's actually quite proud about it too, which I thought was extraordinary too. And we spoke for about, I think, about 45 minutes, an hour, and I taped everything. And I said, can you tell me something that is really peculiar to your tribe, to your people?
Yeah.
That is not the same with other Aboriginal tribes. You know, something maybe perhaps to do with your belief. And so he started rattling off. You know, he was he was thinking about it carefully, and he was telling me all these things that they really felt were very important to that tribe. And I said, you've just given me the Ten Commandments.
Uh-huh.
He said, really? And I said, yeah. And I went through it with him. I said, this is what you said? Yes, yes. Well, that's the Ten Commandments. And his reply was, oh, well, I guess the Ten Commandments are the same everywhere around the world. I said, no. So, yeah, he didn't know that himself.
That was proof. That was the proof.
Yeah, but I came across this is even more proof, another descendant of the Zotor tribe in Perth. And he's got grey blue eyes. He said he's Aboriginal, but he doesn't have the skin of an Aboriginal, really. And he showed me some artifacts of his tribe, because he's the keeper of the artifacts.
Yeah.
And on these two artifacts, he didn't seem to think too much of them, because he said somebody stole all his artifacts, but he said, I've got these two here. And he really didn't cast any importance to it at all. And I said, well, this one says 1807 written on it. And this other one says 1829, but he's illiterate and innumerate, so it didn't mean too much to him.
Yeah.
So we've got two artifacts with dates on it.
Amazing.
And I said, well, where were these found? He said, in the Kennedy Ranges. Now, the Kennedy Ranges are a fair way inland, about 150 kilometres. And the first white person to go there was in the 1850s, I think about 1857, Gregory was an explorer. And it wasn't settled too much later than that again, you know. So here we have, in the Kennedy Ranges, two artifacts that looked Aboriginal, but they had dates on it, 1807, 1829. So I put, I've got some photos of that, of course, in part two of my book. And then I found there was much more evidence of cave drawings in the northwestern part of Australia.
Right.
Where you got Dutch sailors with their hats and smoking pipes and in their boats on the cave walls.
Yeah.
Nobody seems to be terribly interested in that. I don't know why, but even one particular one has got robes on, and there appears to be writing on the cave as well. And that was discovered by the very first European explorer to go there that we know of, and that was by George Gray. And he called them individuals of an alien white race. And he shot one of them, only to save himself, because the white person, he was the leader of the black tribe, and they were attacking George Gray and his men. So George Gray ended up with a spear in his thigh, and he had to shoot him. And as soon as the leader was killed, they dropped their weapons, they went about wailing and crying, and they carried off their chief. That was the end of the battle. And then even more extraordinary, because you're probably in Victoria, is that right?
Say that again?
Are you in Victoria?
Am I in Victoria?
Yeah.
No. I'm here in Sydney.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But a lot of listeners are from Victoria.
All right, yeah.
And I've discovered that two Dutch ships arrived at Port Ferry in 1767.
Yeah.
Now, this is probably the biggest discovery in the 21st century in Australia's history.
Over dit verhaal volgende week meer. Dit was deel 2 van het interview met Henry van Zanden. Op de website www.australiadiscovered.com.au kunt u alle gegevens vinden over de ontdekkingen en de boeken van Henry van Zanden en hoe deze te verkrijgen. www.australiadiscovered.com.au. Volgende week dus nog meer ingrijpende ontdekkingen van Henry van Zanden over de eerste Nederlanders in Australië.
Want to hear more stories like this? Subscribe to our regular podcasts on iTunes.